Hey guys, it's Paul from Good Times and Bad Movies here. Before we start the episode, we just want to let you know, if you like what you hear, give us a follow on our YouTube channel or Instagram page at Good Times Bad Movies Podcast. We're always posting little clips and extra things that don't always make it into the episode. You can also download the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Enjoy the show. Welcome to a spooky edition of Good Times and Bad Movies. I'm Paul Ireland. Joining me as always is my fantastic co-host, Tim Morrison. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, actually. It's October, which means Halloween is right around the corner. So the next few episodes, Tim and I are going to be out by the campfire here talking about some scary stories. This episode, we're actually doing something different. We're sitting down to watch an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? If you've never heard of it, it was a 90s television series that was produced by Sinar Productions and aired on YTV in 1990. And then a year later, Nickelodeon picked it up and released it in the United States. I think you could describe it as the Twilight Zone for kids. The show revolved around a group of kids that gather each week, and one of them tells a spooky story. And usually the story has a morality tale or some sort of lesson. And usually what happens at the start of the show is there's some sort of interaction, or there's setup, there's something that happens, and whoever is narrating the story that week will come out, and they'll elaborate on what happened, and they'll use it to sort of jumpstart their story. So once the premise is set up, the storyteller will then pull out a bag of sand, and there's a sort of a ceremonial thing where they say submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, and then they cast this sand into the fire, and what happens is there's like a puff of smoke and a little magical sort of like swirly thing goes on, and then they tell you what the name of the story is.
I've always wondered what the sand was. Like, wouldn't sand normally put the fire out? I'm surprised that it would like make it change colors and stuff.
Yeah, I think that if you threw a whole bunch of sand, it probably would, but I think if you only throw a little bit of sand, it's just extinguishing it for like a fraction of a second. So, you know, it's kind of making this like... But, you know, they added this sort of dilly, 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 dilly. And it's kind of like a magical swirl. I think that's probably the best way to describe that.
Or like some kind of dream effect.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought it was just like magic sand or something. You know, it's like 10. I figure they're starting up a little story here, throwing in some magic dust.
Yeah, or some kind of ceremonial type thing.
Yeah, I guess so. You know what's weird, too, is so the kids in the Midnight Society, they're about 12 to like 15 years old. They're in the middle of the woods, you know, just like telling stories. If it's called the Midnight Society, are they out of the midnight? Because if I was 12, my parents wouldn't want me to be outside hanging in the woods at 12 o'clock at night, you know? That wouldn't fly.
No, I wouldn't have been allowed out that late either. But, you know, it is called the Midnight Society. It's not the 10 p.m. Society.
Yeah, I guess. Fair enough. But is this like a Friday or a Saturday then?
Let's assume it was a Saturday night.
Yeah, because... this area that they're meeting in, it's sort of this like non-descriptive kind of forest thing. You know, it could be in the back of one of these kids' properties. They could all be just best friends.
Some of them are related as well, like they're siblings. So maybe the younger ones are allowed out because the older ones are there with them.
Yeah, I think the older guy's name is Gary, and the kid's name is Tucker or something.
Yeah, it is Tucker. He's definitely one of them.
Yeah, he's a little mischievous kid that's always getting into trouble.
Yeah, he's the young one. So for this special Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, I chose the Ghastly Grinner. So I chose the Ghastly Grinner because I found this episode to actually be scary when I was younger. I think it's been about 26 years since I watched it again. And I only remembered like some of the images and stuff in it were like really creepy. So having rewatched it now, I can say that it's not quite as scary as what I remembered. But I definitely recognized a lot of the... images and stuff that scared me, and I guess we'll go over that here soon. So we're starting with what we assume to be midnight, with our Midnight Society all gathering at their spot in the woods, and Gary is sitting there with matches trying to get a fire started, but every single time that he lights a match, the wind blows it out. And Kiki is sitting beside him trying to rub two sticks together to make a fire, and that isn't working either, and they're all kind of making fun of Kiki. And then one of the kids suggests that they take the comic book that is sticking out of Tucker's back pocket so they can use that to start a fire. And they all kind of start picking on Tucker for being a comic book fan. And he kind of defends his stance by saying, it's not a comic book, it's a graphic novel. And I feel like that's kind of like a sign of the times, like in the early 90s, because I don't feel like people get picked on as much these days for being comic book fans, considering how popular comic book movies and stuff are now, right? Betty Ann eventually snatches the comic book from the guys and saves it from being burnt, and kind of goes on to testify that they should all be more respectful when it comes to the comics. And this is basically going to lead into Betty Ann's story, The Tale of the Ghastly Grinner. I'm really looking forward to trying out a classic Are You Afraid of the Dark intro. Comic books take you into a world of fantasy and adventure. But is it a place that comes from someone's imagination or their experiences? Submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, I call this story The Tale of the Ghastly Grinner. 13-year-old Ethan Wood is a struggling artist who likes to make comic books. And he's in his bedroom going through a bunch of different envelopes, replies from would-be publishers, I guess, people that he's submitted his artwork or stories to. But he doesn't seem to be having any luck because he picks up one envelope, it says rejected, he throws it over his shoulder, another one rejected, tosses that one on the floor, pass, pass, rejected, wrong address.
Yeah, it seems that Ethan is quite the budding young comic book artist. I gotta say, the drawings all around his room, they look really awesome. Good. Yeah, like whoever's done the drawing, they're really tight. It's really hard to imagine that someone looked at this and went, this is amateur, you know, not good enough. And also, he's only 13, so...
Exactly, for a 13-year-old kid, I think that looks really good.
Yeah, he's killing it for 13, like, for his art skills, like, he is crushing it, but he is really upset. So he just grabs the drawings and kind of just throws them everywhere and starts thrashing around.
Yeah, he just kind of has a meltdown out of nowhere and seemingly turns all the lights off around in his room and then just starts ripping posters off the wall and drawings and shredding them. All the while, there's like flashes of lightning and thunderstorms going on.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, this kid kind of looks like Jonathan Davis if he was 13. The front man for Korn.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Davis. I never really thought about that. I think he looks like a young Bret the Hitman Hart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe. I could kind of see that with like Sting's trench coat. Since Ethan got so mad and threw all these rejection letters around, there was an envelope that spilt out. And it's an invitation to the grand opening of a comic book store called Comic Books, Inc. And he's invited to it. The note says to come early and avoid the crowds. So young Ethan decides to go to the comic book shop and check it out. And I will say, you know, I know this is the early 90s, kind of mid-90s. So I wasn't really sure how comic book sales were, but I don't think they were that great in the 90s.
I think you might be wrong, because I feel like around that time, there was like a pretty big boom in comic book sales with the death of Superman. I think that was pretty handy to 1993.
Maybe. I mean, like, I know there was a lot of big comics that came out in the early 90s, but I don't think comic book sales were that great in the 90s. I could be wrong, but I mean, I know that as far as like kids, it was a huge market for toys and stuff and TV shows, because I watched, you know, Spider-Man, Batman, X-Men, everything I could, right? But I just mean, in this comic book store, there's all this Marvel and DC stuff in the background that, to me today, to license all that IP would be really expensive.
Oh, for all these Marvel characters? Yeah, that would be a pretty heavy cost.
Yeah, it would cost a ton today, because there is Superman stuff everywhere, X-Men stuff everywhere, Spider-Man, like DC Marvel stuff everywhere in the background here. It would cost a ton today, I imagine, to license all this stuff.
So this scene starts out with a close-up on an image of Superman, and I just couldn't help but notice it because he just looks so weird to me with long hair. Like, it's really long and flowing. I've just never seen Superman look like that before.
There are different iterations of Superman, but I definitely prefer the clean-cut Clark Kent look. But this is kind of like a woman's hair.
Yeah, he looks like he spent like a lot of money and a lot of time at a barber shop to get a nice haircut like that. Or maybe it's part of his superpowers.
It's a finely coiffed mane, and it's sort of just flowing to one side. It looks like really thick and voluminous. It looks like a woman's hair. It doesn't look like guy's hair. It's interesting, though. Someone made this.
So this girl pops up from behind one of the shelves in this comic book store, and she doesn't introduce herself by name, but she just says she's the owner of this comic book shop, Comic Books, Inc.
Yeah, I was trying to figure this out. What is this lady's name?
She's not named, and I'm pretty sure that's on purpose.
All right. Fair enough.
No, she doesn't have a name in this for now. Anyways, the owner is checking out his artwork, and she instantly gives him a nickname. So, his nickname is Cakes. I think that's a pretty funny nickname for a 13-year-old boy. But anyways, this guy's name is Cakes now. And she's like, oh, your artwork is just the best, Cakes. You know, and because of that, there's a special gift here for you. Consider it a on-the-house special prize for a grand opening.
I'm sorry. Just the way you describe that, there's no way that like, there's no way that it didn't sound predatory.
Oh yeah.
not that I'm making light of that or anything, yeah. But like, it just sounded really creepy for a second.
She proceeds to gift him the only copy of The Ghastly Grinner, a supervillain who has the appearance of a jester, or maybe some other different versions of the Joker that are out there.
Yeah, he's really creepy. It's like a Harlequin jester thing, and he's like blue and yellow, and he's got these like yellow teeth that are all rotten. Just like as a comic in general, if I just saw this thing, I personally would think it's really creepy.
And it's by an artist author named Sylvester Uncus.
Yeah, and like, who wrote the name Uncus? It's got to be someone's real name, because it's so weird and so specific that it's got to be like a real name, you know?
Uncus? Sylvester Uncus? I don't know. That sounds pretty made up to me. Yeah, so Ethan is completely honored by this. And as he's leaving the store, the scene segues into an image of a burning hot dog propped up by some sticks. And as the camera zooms out, we see that we're actually in science class. And this hot dog is about to explode inside of what they're calling a microwave. I don't know. I'd actually have to get a hold of somebody who knows a thing or two about microwaves to fact check this. But that, to me, this contraption that they have in the classroom does not look like a microwave. It looks like an aquarium with like a satellite dish on the inside or something.
It's like a satellite dish that they cut into slices and took apart and then assembled in a glass case. And also too, like, what kind of science class is it? You just microwave hot dogs and explode them? Like, what is this? What sort of scientific value is that teaching anybody?
The way this hot dog explodes too, it looks like it's just stuffed with firecrackers, and it's just burning, like kind of like the sizzling the wire.
Like a wick?
Yeah, the wick. Yeah, the wick. You know, sparks are just like flying off of it, kind of like a stick of dynamite in a cartoon. And then it just explodes to smithereens.
Yeah, great science class. Could you imagine that? I wish we had that in high school. You just got to blow stuff up.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. So the teacher is asking for a volunteer in the class to explain how a microwave works. So this girl raises her hand. And she has really big glasses and pigtails and I guess a really tidy dress, you could say. And she's basically the nerd of the classroom. And her name is Hooper Piccolero. See, they're definitely making these names up, huh?
Well, maybe. I don't know. But I will say, I've been waiting for this part here. So Tib and I watch this on YouTube. And the subtitles were on. And I gotta say, I got some wacky results when we were watching this. So her name is Hooper Piccolero, and I think it's spelled P-I-C-A-L-E-R-O, or some sort of version of that. I couldn't really find how it was spelled online. I couldn't find it on IMDb or anything like that. But every time it did come up in the subtitles on the show here, I got some wacky results. So some of the results I got were Hooper Piccolero, Woohoo Poppy Calero, Miss Pickle Row, Hoover B. Clara, I'll Burpee Claro, and at one point Ethan calls her Hooper, but it just shows up as Roofer. So, you know, for whatever reason, if you decide to rely on the subtitles in this, you'd be lost.
The reason that there are so many examples of this is because part of her character trait is that she introduces herself every single time she appears on the screen. Hooper Piccolo raises her hand and offers to answer the question to explain the class how a microwave works. But the professor is tired of her always answering the question, and he wants to give someone else a chance, so he looks over at Ethan, who is sitting at the back of the classroom, and he has his comic book hidden behind his science textbook. However, his science textbook is upside down, so the teacher can clearly see that he's not paying attention and asks him to answer the question. When Ethan can't explain, the teacher walks over and grabs the comic book out of his hands and just tosses it into the fish tank. And I thought that was, like, pretty cold for a teacher to do.
Yeah, I could see someone doing that, though, at one point. Just, you know, dropping the comic book in the water. The guy doesn't know what it is. You know, he just thinks it's a piece of crap. Doesn't realize it is an original Sylvester J. Unkus first edition.
So, later on, Ethan arrives at home, and he decides that he's going to go to the kitchen and microwave some popcorn because he really wants a snack. So, after he's pops his popcorn, he's like sitting at the table and he's kind of holding his soaked comic because I guess he fished it out of the fish tank, and he gets the idea that he should microwave it because that's how you dry a soaked comic, I guess. And right after he puts it in the microwave, the phone rings and his mom answers it from a different room and tells him that there's a girl on the phone, and he yells back that he'll take it downstairs in his bedroom.
Yeah, we should explain too, this is 1994, so you know, not a lot of people had cell phones at this point. So if someone to get a hold of you, they had to call your house, and there was a phone that was physically attached to your house. And, you know, sometimes you had to run into the other room and talk to someone. You couldn't just pick up a cell phone.
So the girl who's calling, according to YouTube, closed captions, is Woohoo Poppy Calero. But we know it's actually Hooper Piccolero because she introduces herself every single time. And she just wanted to call because she feels bad that the teacher destroyed his comic book and wants to let him know that she really loves his art.
It's Hooper Piccolero.
Who? Hooper Piccolero. I sit across from you in Mr. Wright's science class. You know, glasses, sweater, braces. I guess I'm a nerd.
Oh, right.
She also claims to have no sense of humor several times through this episode.
Yeah, I think she just has a dry sense of humor. But I felt on one hand, it's like, hey, you know, you work with what you got. I mean, you know, making lemons out of lemonade, that's a great attitude. But also, it kind of seems like mean writing, you know? They're just like, yeah, you're a nerd, just know your role.
While Ethan's on the phone with Hooper, his mother decides that she wants to make some pizza waffles from her and her husband in the kitchen. Now, I don't know how I should describe them. I guess, like, his parents are, for lack of a better word, they are, like, total slobs. His mother has her hair like half done up in rollers, and she has this weird like fall jacket covered in like neon flowers. And his father is sitting on the couch, and he's a heavyset fellow with a tank top on that's and a gold chain, and his tank top is like covered in mustard stains. And on the table in front of him looks to be like a pitcher of beer and a giant bowl of cheesies and another bowl of pretzels.
Oh, and the dad's also wearing like what looks like an Adidas windbreaker or something. It's almost kind of like what Ricky from the Trailer Park Boys wear, except this is green.
Well, this was 1993. So, anyways, his mom is making these pizza waffles, and she's trying to plug in some kind of appliance. We don't really see what it is, but basically, she's trying to plug in something, and we see this giant, crazy extension cord contraption. I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
It's, you know when you have those little three-prong adapters and you can plug a bunch of things into one? It's about 16 of those plugged into one thing, and it's a big mess of its extension cords going all over the kitchen. This is probably an electrical hazard, especially if it's really cheap electrical equipment. There's a good chance, you know, it might catch fire or you might just trip a breaker.
I counted 8 things plugged into this crazy fire hazard.
Yeah, it's just way too much stuff. Like, don't you guys have any other plugs in your house? Like, what are you doing?
Well, whatever she plugged in seemed to be enough to make something in the kitchen go kaboom. because while Ethan's on the phone, we see him talking on the phone in his room, and we hear a giant, like, explosion. And he runs up to check in the microwave to see what's going on with his comic book. And as he holds his comic book up, there's just a giant hole in it. And for some reason, the microwave has no damage.
You know what's so weird, too? This is supposed to be like a limited edition, one-of-a-kind comic. And so far, this kid has just gotten it dropped into a fish tank and then decided he was going to microwave it. And then if you look at the time he sets on the microwave, he sets it for 10 minutes. Not like 2 minutes, you know.
How long would you put a comic book in the microwave for?
You want to know the time and temperature that I microwave my comics at? All right, fair enough. Well, I wouldn't. I would just leave it and let it air dry, you know. I mean, it's toast, you know. Again, they just ruined a first edition, one-of-a-kind Sylvester J. Unkus comic. And so when he goes downstairs and the smoke's settling, there's a weird sort of Joker, like a Harlequin cutout. So it looks sort of like a cartoon character's ran through a wall. It's sort of funny, too, because there's even like a cutout of his cape, too. So, like, was his cape really starched and it just sort of blasted through the wall? Or, I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with this. There's like blue slime on the edges of this face too, because it's the ghastly grinner has this disgusting blue goopy stuff that sort of drips off him.
Yeah, well, we see it on his mom here at this right now. If she walks into the kitchen, she says, "Hey, son, why don't you open the door and let out some of this smoke?" And as we see her, she's like seemingly been like affected by the ghastly grinner, because she is just like drooling from the mouth and laughing. And the legend says that when the ghastly grinner gets a hold of you, you start laughing uncontrollably and frothing at the mouth, and I guess you just kind of go insane.
Yeah, and it's creepy. She's really creepy looking too, because she's all around her eyes is like this dark purple sort of color, and then there's like her teeth are all yellow now, and there's like this blue goop coming out of her mouth, and like, I mean, they were already a hot mess before this, and like now it's just like, oh, like what's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, well, Ethan is totally terrified, and he bolted out of the house and runs across the street and hides behind a bush.
And who does he run into? None other than Hoover B. Clara, a.k.a. Hooper P. Calero.
Yeah, Hooper's back. So he quickly informs her that the ghastly grinner is on the loose and says that his parents have been infected, and she says that they should go tell an adult. And as soon as they both stand up, they see across the street, Hooper P. Calero's parents, her mother and father, are knocking on the door to go to see Ethan's parents.
Yeah, so there's a few things that I noticed here. So would Hooper has Ethan's phone number, and she calls him and says, "Hey, it's me, Hooper. I sit across from you," whatever. And then when she sees him again here, she says the same thing. "I sit across from you in Mr. Wright's in science class," and he says, "I know." And
yeah, apparently their parents are already friends.
Yeah, their parents are friends. Like, why do you have to introduce yourself all the time, you know? Like, wouldn't he know you? He would have seen you around peripherally at least somewhere and been like, "Oh, hey, what's up?"
Well, Ethan's parents are inviting the Picoleros in to meet their new Uncle Bob. And Ethan explains to Hooper that there is no Uncle Bob. Ethan decides that they need to get this comic. They need to go back to the comic book shop and ask the owner, like, what the hell is up with this comic book? So they hop on a bus and head to the comic book store. So when I mentioned earlier that I remember some scenes that scared me, or like some imagery, this would definitely be a good example of that. So these two are on the bus. They're the only two people on the bus, and they're at the back, and they're just kind of flipping through what's left of this comic book.
Yeah, somehow the comic has assembled itself, even though it's been microwaved.
I know, I was going to mention that. Like, when he took the comic book out of the microwave, there was a giant hole in it, and it's seemingly gone now. And the owner even said that this is the only issue around, so I don't know. There's a lot of wacky stuff going on in this episode anyway, so... So anyways, they're flipping through this comic book, sitting on the bus, and as they go through the panels, they're starting to look more and more like their current situation. Like, it's a picture of Ethan and Hooper sitting on a bus, and they're frightened out of their minds, staring at the front of the bus. So as they both look up from the page of the comic book, they see the bus driver, and the bus driver's head does a full 180 and flips around, like snapping his neck. A lot like The Exorcist, actually.
Yes. Very Reagan-esque.
Yeah, when she spins her head around and starts vomiting. It's like that. Only instead of vomit, he has like this, that blue gooey stuff just like gushing out of his mouth. And he kind of just goes insane.
He starts laughing really maniacally.
Yeah, he's like laughing maniacally and kind of hopping up and down in his seat as if they're like going over a bunch of bumps and stuff.
Yeah, that bus is swerving left and right.
Yeah, he's just like swerving back and forth and back and forth all around the road. I guess maybe there weren't a lot of cops in 1993.
No, that bus is out of control.
So Ethan reaches up to grab this emergency pull cord that just slams on the emergency brakes.
Maybe. I mean, I don't really know how that works.
Oh, that can't be a real thing.
No. I know when you like you pull the cord, you want the bus to stop, you know, or you want to pull over the next available stop.
Yeah, that's how buses work.
No, I mean, okay. When you're in Toronto, you know, you pull a little cord and the people on the bus, you know, they kind of hang on because the bus is going to pull over at the next available stop, you know? So
you're 100% right. That's how buses work. It's been a while for you. I was on the bus like 2 weeks ago, and I can tell you for sure that there is no emergency pull cord that slams on the emergency brakes on the public transit bus.
So, well, since his magical brake system on the bus gets slammed, the bus driver does sort of like a face plant off the front of the glass. And then he's laying there, and he's got this like blue goop coming out of his mouth, and he's kind of twitching. It's sort of like, you know, in Jack Nicholson at the end of 1989 Batman, when he's just laying there going, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, ha ha ha. It's sort of like that, but did they kill him? You know, like, did they totally just kill this bus driver? Like,
no, I don't think so, but what do I know?
I mean, it's a kid's show, so we're going to say no, but it seemed like it.
So Ethan and Hooper finally arrive at the comic book shop and they confront the owner and they're like, you know, tell us more about Sylvester Uncas. Like, what's going on? And she explains that Sylvester Uncas wasn't just making comic books.
Yeah, she says that it's he was making sort of guides to dimensions in other worlds. And that's kind of what it seems like. That's what's happened. The microwave has kind of sucked out the ghastly grinner from another world. And they sort of cross streams with this world.
And the owner of the comic book shop reveals herself to be the daughter of Sylvester Uncas. And he's been missing for a really long time. According to her, the ghastly grinner got him before he was able to finish the last issue, which was titled The Death of the Ghastly Grinner.
Yeah, it seems the whole reason that she's actually brought Ethan there and given him the comic is because she wants him to finish the story and get rid of the ghastly grinner. And potentially, you know, maybe, fingers crossed, bring her dad back. Yeah.
So the owner tells Ethan that you need to finish the comic book so that you can bring my father back to our world and put a stop to the ghastly grinner. And just then, Hooper comes up with an idea. They should use a microwave because that's what brought him into our world, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of weird this episode. There's a really strong underlying message or theme about the use of microwaves, which is just, I don't know. It's odd. Just a weird plot thing.
So Hooper says maybe they should just go back to the school and use the microwave that they have there because they have a very large microwave that they only use there just to microwave hot dogs. So it's just sitting there and maybe they could use that to fight the ghastly grinner.
So the three of them are just standing there discussing the microwave plan and they're kind of going over some unfinished drawings and there's one unfinished drawing of a microwave and from above them, there's these little blue drops that are hitting the painting. And as they look up, they see the ghastly grinner is standing above them laughing. And he grabs the comic book shop owner by the throat, and it just kind of fades out.
Yeah, they just kind of bail.
So yeah, we jump to Ethan and Hooper are back at school in the classroom, and they're playing with the giant makeshift microwave that the teacher had earlier in the episode.
Yeah, and it's not in its case anymore now. It's just kind of, you know, set up. And
yeah, that's totally safe.
Well, I mean, unless you're a hot dog or a comic book, I think you're okay. But, you know, Ethan is setting it up. And as he's setting it up, Ethan's walking back and he accidentally bumps into Burpee Calero. And, you know, he knocks over a bunch of her stuff. And one of the things that he knocks out of her hand is this big eraser. And I don't know if people remember, but in the 90s, there was this big eraser. It's probably the size of, say, a Hershey's chocolate bar. And it said, for big mistakes. And that's what he knocks out of her hand. And as he's sort of, you know, helping her put all her stuff back together again, Mr. Wrightson, the teacher, shows up. And he's kind of, you know, looking at these guys going, what the heck are you doing here? You guys better have a good excuse as to why you're here. And, you know, as Mr. Wrightson's kind of giving them an earful, the Ghastly Grinner shows up behind him and just grabs him and lifts him up by the shirt and just starts laughing in his face. And while he's turning Mr. Wrightson into, like, this laughing, demented idiot, Ethan kind of hits the switch. And all of a sudden, all this light's flashing down. There's just wind blowing everywhere. And right at this point, you know, he drops Mr. Wrightson and he turns around and he grabs Ethan and he picks him up and he delivers this solid line.
I know. I'll leave you with a smile.
Oh my God. Like, what is this? This is like a cartoon or something.
Yeah, that really reminded me of another movie. Maybe here, I'll just play you a clip and see if you can guess what it's from.
Remember me, Eddie? When I kill your brother, I talk just with
you! Well, I've been a chipmunk thing going on there. Wow. So, what was that? Was that Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, that was Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, is that at the end of the movie, like when he loses it and he turns into a cartoon?
Yeah, that's right when he's turning into a cartoon.
Yeah, that's really close, that actually. That's really reminiscent. It's like this really over-the-top voice warp laughing. And when you see this character too, he is really ghastly looking. It's a very disturbing looking person, you know?
Like, I just want to say that I honestly don't even understand what their plan even was with this microwave. Like, were they going to trap him in the room and like try and fry him with the microwave as if you can use it without the door on it and it would just like fry everything in the room
except for them magically? Yeah. I don't know, it seemed like a really half-cocked idea, you know?
The answer to this should be easy. You know why? The owner of the comic book shop said to them, I need you to complete the unfinished comic books that my dad had so that you can bring him back and rid the world of the Ghastly Grinner forever. And they tried this ridiculous microwave idea, and now they're standing there and pondering again as to what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, it does seem kind of pointless. You're right. As the Ghastly Grinner is kind of laughing in Ethan's face maniacally, Hooper grabs him and pulls him away, and they just kind of run away back to the comic shop. You know what this seems like? You know in Scooby-Doo when the gang's getting chased by the monster and they're just kind of going from room to room back and forth? That's kind of what this was like, because it's like they were at the comic book shop, now we're at the school, then we're going back to the comic book shop, and I think at the end of this we're going back to the school. So it's like it's basically taking place in two places this entire time, you know? They're just going back and forth. And it's like, did they take a bus for this one too? And like, how far is the school from the comic book shop? There's a lot of unanswered questions here. But I think they do eventually decide, like, Ethan's like, okay, maybe I should actually do what the lady told me to and finish the comic book.
Yeah, he gets his colored pencils and markers, and there's this montage of him just doing things, but he's basically just tracing over lines with thicker markers and coloring the pages. And I gotta say, too, these pictures, like, all the artwork from the Ghastly Grinner comics aren't anything compared to Ethan's own artwork, like all the pictures and stuff that he ripped up earlier at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, it was really killer. And this stuff is kind of, it's a little rushed.
The pictures that he's coloring to finish this comic book are like really basic.
Yeah, and even the coloring, if you look at it, there's spots that are just missing everywhere on this.
Yeah, like they're outside of the lines and stuff.
Yeah, it looks like a little kid colored it really quickly with the crayon, roughly. But you know, Hooper's looking guard the outside the whole time, and he's trying to bury the hatchet on this comic here. And at one point, she walks away from the door, and the camera's still holding there, and there's this blue kind of slimy goop stuff that's coming down again. And she walks right past the Ghastly Grinner, and she doesn't see him. And he's ready to terrorize him again, and he just attacks him one more time.
I like his attack this time. he approaches Hooper, and he's like getting right in her face, trying to intimidate her. And he, with each hand, he grabs one of her pigtails and like just raises them up. And he's holding them like you would hold like handlebars on like a Harley Davidson or some kind of motorcycle. And he's just like laughing in her face, and she's stunned. And he's like, "Why aren't you laughing?" And she says, "Oh, I don't really have any kind of sense of humor."
Yeah, basically, she is like his arch nemesis, you would think. Like, you would think that she should actually be the superpower, but she's not. But Ethan holds up a comic book, and he says, "Hey, Smiley, check this out." And Ethan has now drawn himself into a comic with a big E on his chest. It's not like he's super Ethan or anything. He's just Ethan, it seems like. But him and the Ghastly Grin are sort of run at each other in this weird moment, and they kind of just go into the drawings now.
Yeah, they teleport to a dimension that we can't see, except for the drawings that Ethan just finished right before they teleported.
Yeah, and Ethan is now united with the Uncuses, and looks like they're locked in battle with the Ghastly Grinner.
Yeah, and Ethan wisely created a new story within the artwork that he just finished, where once again we're going back to the microwaves, and he's going to use a microwave in the comic book story to finish off the Ghastly Grinner. Because the first time it didn't work was because the Ghastly Grinner is immune to microwaves in our dimension. But in the comic book world dimension, the Ghastly Grinner is easily defeated by using a microwave. And we don't actually see any action here. We just see the story play out through the pictures in the comic book.
It looks like as we go through the panels that Ethan has foiled the Ghastly Grinner with the microwave technique. But when Hooper flips the panel over to the next page, she realizes that they're still stuck in the comic and can't get out of there. And when she goes to the next panel, she sees that the Ghastly Grinner is actually still lurching behind Ethan again, and he's attacking him. Which is weird because, like, didn't he draw this? Or is this, like, extra comics that showed up now? Like, they played a little fast and loose with the rules of this comic?
Yeah, well, he's in the comic book because he wrote himself into the comic book, right?
Yeah, he did, but he would have just drawn himself with, you know, destroying him with a microwave and winning.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right.
That's what I mean. Like, where these extra panels come from. But it doesn't matter anyways because, you know, now they finished the comic, it really doesn't matter because Hooper is going to just go over to the table now and pull out the giant eraser for big mistakes and just kind of casually erase a drawing with marker on it. And the Uncuses and Ethan just kind of pop out of the comic and everyone's safe.
At the end of all this, the microwaves did absolutely nothing to save them. It was the eraser.
They didn't need to draw anything. They didn't need to microwave anything.
There's no need of all this microwave action.
They just literally needed to destroy the comic. So if you just destroy the comic, why would setting it on fire or, you know, ruining it, why would that not do anything to it? But at the end of the episode here, we find out Ethan is a huge success in the comic world now.
Yeah, and the narrator says, "I guess you could say that Ethan made it into the comic book scene because he is actually the star of his own comic. He is a superhero."
Yeah, he's Ethan.
No, he's Super Ethan. That's his name.
Well, you know what's funny, too? It looks like the M&M logo. And I wonder if that's where M&M got that from.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe that's where M&M got his inspiration for his own logo or superhero, like when he's dressed like Robin.
Now this looks like a job for me, so everybody. Yeah, what was that song called?
Without Me.
Oh, yeah, Without Me. But anyways, that's the Ghastly Grinner. That's this episode.
Yes, it is. So what did you think of this?
Well, I got to say, I really like this episode. You know, I was a big fan of the show growing up when I was a kid. So I've seen a ton of episodes, and this one has always kind of stuck with me. I definitely remember the name Uncus from all those years ago, just because it was so unique. And I really liked the character of Hooper Picolero too. She was really funny. She was really nice. It was a really cool character. And the Ghastly Grinner himself, I thought was It was really creepy, actually, especially for a kid show. That was always something I noticed about this, too. For being a kid show, a lot of the villains and monsters that were in this show were really creepy. And even for a show that's supposed to be for like kids that are like 10 to like 14, it's really creepy, really horrific. And like, I think they really pushed a lot of boundaries for being a kid show.
Yeah, I agree. The logic is kind of like all over the place, but, you know, this is a show for kids, so I can't really poke at it too much, right?
So what did you think of this episode?
Well, it certainly wasn't as scary as what I remembered, and probably quite a bit more silly than what I remembered as well. But I gotta say, I had a good time watching it. Kind of brought me back a little bit of nostalgia.
It's definitely a little disturbing and creepy for kids. You know, obviously as adults, it takes a little more, you know, to kind of scare you or put you off a bit. But I definitely think if you're like, again, like you're like 10 years old and you just see this guy dressed up like the Ghastly Grinner going, oh, you know, his whole look, it's in makeup. It's very creepy.
So you mentioned earlier that there was like each episode from Are You Afraid of the Dark usually has like a moral or some kind of lesson to be learned. I'm not really sure what this one is supposed to be. Maybe like, don't give up on yourself or use microwaves properly.
Yeah, there's definitely a believe in yourself message in this episode. And that's cool, you know, like not every episode has to have some deep, complex meaning. It's they can just be kind of simple, fun stuff. And I just like that each episode is kind of its own thing. So do you remember any other episodes?
I don't remember the names of a lot of the episodes, but I remember some of the stories. The one that I was thinking about choosing was about a girl who gets trapped in a dollhouse. And that one is actually like really scary, or at least I think so. I mean, I guess my mind might change after having watched this one. So,
yeah, that one's kind of creepy. There was like one girl slowly turns into a doll when she goes into a little house. And there's another girl who's been caught in this dollhouse, and she's been there for years, and she slowly turned into a doll, and like her hand comes off at one point.
Another one, or two actually, the vampires in the hospital.
Yeah, the night shift.
Yeah, and that's all I remember is the vampires in the hospital, and it was creepy. And the other one was about some kids in a swimming class in school, and there's this like red in this in. Kind of like translucent red skeleton ghost in the water.
Yeah, that was the tale of the dead man's float. And I kind of almost wanted to do that one for a second. That one was really creepy, I remember, because there's like, it's almost kind of like Friday the 13th, where at the start of it, there's a kid who's swimming in this pool inside of a school, and he drowns. And there's like a monster that apparently you can't see him, but it pulls him down under the water. And then it drowns him. And then the pool gets closed up and kind of gets forgotten about. And then one day there's like a kid who discovers that this pool is sort of hidden behind some locker somewhere and goes like, hey, why aren't we using this? We should be swimming here. And so they everyone forgot about what happened. And so they open it back up again. And then sort of long story short, you know, they use some scientific methods, and they pour a bunch of chemicals in the pool. And it reacts with the monster, and he turns all red and just comes out, and it's this like skeleton thing and grabs him. And it's like, that one was especially super creepy, I remember.
Yeah, I thought this was a lot of fun, actually. I'd go back and watch any episodes of this anytime. They're all on YouTube.
Yeah, I really like this show. And I think for Halloween, if you look for something that's like, you know, not too intense, but kind of spooky, not really gory over the top. Like,
yeah, there's something for your kids.
Yeah, or even just, you know, like you're hanging out at home and you're like, you're 20, you just want to, you know, hang out, watch some Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like, I think that's kind of cool, you know, it's fun. I will give two more honorable mentions just for recommendations, you know. One is The Bookish Babysitter, and basically that's about a girl who shows up to babysit a kid who's kind of a brat. And she makes him read a bunch of books, and the stories start to come to life. And you know, he's being chased around by like a ghost and a witch, and it's a really, that was a really cool, fun story. Like the witch, especially in that one, I thought was super creepy. And the last one I would say is this other episode called Old Man Corcoran, and it's about there's some kids.
I don't think I've heard of either one of those.
Old Man Corcoran is about. It's about some kids that they move to a new town, and they end up playing hide and seek with some kids. And this guy was like this really creepy old guy, and it was really intense, I remember. So those to me are two good episodes I think you should check out as well if you're looking for something a little more spooky. But I think that's pretty much it for this episode. But before I go, we should mention we're on social media. We got Instagram, we got YouTube, Spotify, we're on iTunes. So, you know, please, if you like it, if you don't like it, you know, leave us a share, comment, like, you know, tell us we suck. That's okay too. You know, it's engagement. Tim, is there anything else you want to mention?
Share and subscribe.
All right. Well, we're going to pour some water on the fire and get out of here. We'll see you guys in the next one.